They were just so pumped up, and I am so proud. At the same time, I'm so touched because I take her for granted. You know, she's my kid. She's always there in my home. I saw her from baby, and now she's 5 years old. I never realized she's growing up daily. And one of these events sometimes reminding me that, hey, your daughter is growing up. Your daughter is soon to be an adult. Before you know it, they'll be like, you know, going out, do their own thing, and, you know, find a job, find their boyfriend, girlfriend, building their own family, and they're going to leave me behind. And I'm like, I don't want that. I want my kids to be with me all the time. And I always think that she's that little cute little baby that's always, you know, very cute. And, you know, as she's growing up, she's just going to be thinking about more about her aspirations, her futures. And God reminded me to basically say, enjoy the time. Cherish your daughter. Spend time with them. Watch her grow. Give her the best time that you can get so that they will grow happy, grow hopeful, that there's always still hope in this world, even though sometimes it's chaotic, right? And I hope some of the parents here and Mamanya Jackie and Papanya Jackie look at Jackie now going to Berkeley. And eventually in 2 years, believe it or not, 2 years is very short. You'll be walking and wear your own, is it toga? Toga, right? The cape and everything. And that's when your papa says, oh man, she's already grown up. Good to challenge the world, right? So take your time, 2 years. Enjoy your time, amen? Having said that, I also have my own memory being a kindergarten. Believe it or not, I used to be a kindergarten too. For whatever reason, this is one of the only memory that I have when I was small. I think it's because it's so vivid and so meaningful. I also was in a kindergarten. My mom is here, so I don't know whether she knows this. But when I was growing up, I remember my first day going to kindergarten. The story was, I was wake up in the morning, first day of school, the becak, you know, the becak driver, the tricycle, come and pick me up, take me from home to school. And the school is pretty far, actually. So basically, they drop the becak driver, the tricycle driver, drop me off at the curb, and I have to walk into the school, right? So, but I remember clearly, like, when I was growing up, I remember, like, my mom gave me this 100 rupiah. So I don't know how many of you have seen this money. Exactly this money? Yeah? Okay, so you're as old as me. This money probably worth about less than a cent now, less than 1 cent. That's probably about 5 cents at the time. So the tricycle driver take me and then stop at one of the store in Gunung Salahutu, whatever. The Gunung Salahutu, that's the name of the road, and it's a cake shop. And I stopped there. I have to, as a kid, like you imagine, 5 year old, bring in, you know, money and go to the store and say, I want this and this, and give the money. So I was like, that's very vivid in my mind. Like, I can become like an adult. And so I bought a gogos and kue lapis. You know, I don't know how you guys say that in English. Not lemper, gogos. There's a difference between gogos and lemper, you know. Anyway, I packed in my box. I went to school, right? So the tricycle driver dropped me off. I start walking, right? And I'm walking. And I saw, oh, my friend, a new friend. I didn't even know. Oh, the parents come. Oh. And I'm like, keep walking. I'm like, oh, how come everybody's parents here? I'm like walking myself. And the teacher say, good morning. I say, good morning. And they say, where's your parents? I say, what? I say, I don't even know. The first day of school, the parents have to be there. Or want to be there, not have to be there. Because obviously I'm there without my parents. So, but all my friends' parents were there, and I'm like the only one. And I can see all my friends start crying because it's the first day of school. They're not used to, like, separated from their mom. They cry, oh, mommy, I don't want to go. This is not fun. And I'm like walking like, whom should I cry to? I don't have anybody to cry to, right? I just go there, good morning, and I just sit down. And I look at, like, everybody's crying, so chaotic, and the parents, like, looking at the window, oh, it's my daughter, my son, it's okay. Oh, man, what is going to eat? What's going to... I'm like, oh, nobody's watching me. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's the first day of school. And so that was kind of interesting, and this is how I look like. Well, this is not me. This is how I look like. This is exactly how I dressed up. And I have the fez, and I have, you know, shorts and everything. It was actually brown. I remember it was brown. So for whatever reasons, and this is, I guess, if some of you who are brought up in Indonesia or Singapore, you know that there's also a dress code, right, uniform code. On Monday, you have to dress up everything, right, like this. From the top to the bottom, have to be perfect. And sometimes, for the reason that is out of me, they just like to change. Okay, Monday, full dress. Tuesday is different. Wednesday is different. And then Friday is, you know, baju olahraga, you know, the, what do you call this, sports uniform, you know. They always messed up, like, you know, it's like just try to make you confused. So one of those days, I came in again by myself, walking, and I have my full uniform. And I'm looking, well, he's not wearing fez. This guy wearing the fez, but then the parents take it away right away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, today is actually a no fez day. No, what do you call this? The blazers. No, I'm not supposed to bring the blazer. And my tricycle driver has already left because I'm walking down the tricycle driver. I'm out of here. Bye, you know. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I am violating the code. And soon enough, this is you learn, like, kids when they're young, they go so tricky and smart. And I'm one of them. So I open it up and I put it in my shirt, right? So it's basically showing like this, and I'm walking into it. I'm like, good morning. And the teacher said, what happened to your tummy? What's in there? I said, no, I just ate a bunch of meal today, this morning. I'm so full, like, I'm just, my tummy is this big. And then he said, no, what's in there? And then soon enough, you know that, you know, I hit my fez in there, and I'm trying to get out of the punishment. But anyway, they caught me, and I got punished. Imagine, 5-year-old in the kindergarten, you get punished for wearing the wrong uniform. So that's one of those funny experiences. And as I'm sure some of you also can relate to me with this. Who knows this? Who has attended this? Yeah? Who enjoy being there? Who enjoy being there? Nobody? Oh my gosh. It was hot, right? First of all, as you now confess, nobody likes upacara bendera, right? Right? First thing in the Monday, it's always Monday. I don't know why they cannot do it on Friday. Always do it on Monday after the break. We're so, you know, relaxed. And the Monday morning, we have to be there on time. First of all, our heart is no longer there. We just like, I hate Monday because it's always upacara bendera. You know, it was always flag ceremony. First of all, you don't want to be there. Second of all, you're forced to be there. Third, you don't want to be there. You're forced to be there. And you also have to fulfill the dress code, right? So if you're late, what do you get when you're late? Punishment, right? If you forget your hat, what happened? Punishment. If you, okay, so this is for the ladies, the girls. I know because in my school, the rule is that the skirt has to go below the kneecap. You should not show your tie. Is it tie? This was tie, right? You should not show a tie. So usually what happens is from Tuesday to Saturday, what they do, this is my friend, I'm not saying it's you, they fold the skirt and tape it so that it's actually sitting above, because that's the trend, you know, showing up above the kneecap. And on Monday, what they do is they remove and make sure it's actually below the cap. In order to do what? To avoid punishment. Right? So, as we know it, right, in our life, we have been focused on performance base. Everything that we do is about performance. We are so accustomed to this, right? Like, the requirement for being accepted or be admitted is through performance. And for some of you who grow up like this, even in the right now in DVC, right, why do you study so hard? Because you want to go to a good school. And sometimes good school, they have such a strict requirements that any small things can cost you the admissions to some of these schools, right? You have been performing really good, 4.0 GPA. And I don't know if you remember, like in the applications, they said that you have to maintain certain grades, right? If you get admitted, you cannot screw around. And they say, oh, you know what? I'm already admitted. Who cares? You know, I'm just going to, you know. No, you have to keep on doing it. And then small mistakes. And I've known someone who lost his admission just because he got a bad grade in one of the courses. So we are really accustomed to this, like, performance base. Everything you do, you're measured about your results and how good you do in your life, right? And this is the same thing that's happening in the beginning of the Christian's church, in the time of Jesus and John. So as we actually continuing the study of the book of 1 John, what have you learned? John has been reminding the people about the group of unbelievers. We call it the Gnostics. What do you call it, Pastor? Gnostics people? The people that don't necessarily acknowledge the presence of the living God, which is Jesus himself, and the impact of the work of salvation that he has done, right? So in one of those writing or teaching, John is saying this. He's reminding the people of Israel is that everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appears so that he may take away our sins, and in him no sins. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is righteous, just as he is righteous. So three things that you can take away from here. John is teaching about sin and being righteous. And he actually insert that word that I put in italics. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you to astray. So what happened is that the church is growing, the church is baptizing people, right? But there is also this group, small group within this new church that is just don't believe, and they don't believe, and at the same time, they also teach, encourage others to follow them, right? So there's always this small group that is causing some false teaching. And that's the reason why John is saying this to the new church at the time. First of all, he says this: everyone who sins breaks the law, right? In fact, sin is lawlessness. So as you know, the Israelites, when they were growing up, they were under the Mosaic law. Prior to Jesus, they have been following the book of Torah, the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is very clear, right? There are about 300 plus rules that they have to follow in order to be considered acceptable to God, right? So what they're doing is this: I'm just going to follow the book. I'm just going to perform to the rules of the book that was handed out and taught by the rabbi. Whatever I learned, I apply it. I am going to perform and to be compliant, to avoid the punishment. Similar to me, when I was going to school, I do it not because I wanted it, but because I just want to avoid punishment. So the sin that they're doing is just like, you know, math. It's like it's just like a fruit, okay? So basically, you must say, if I sin one time, if I do good things two times, I'm okay, because I am net positive. You know, if you say sin is negative, good deed is positive, I am net positive, right? And every time I sin, the book of Torah told them, this is what you should do. Go get a lamb, go buy a lamb, go buy a pigeon and everything, sacrifice it in the synagogue or whatever, in the tabernacle, and then you're good to go, right? So to them, sin is just another thing to handle, you know, matters to handle. But then John wants to tell them, like, look, sin is just not like an action. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is about what is in your heart, right? So, for example, you guys live in the California. You guys all have the driver license. So technically, you guys should know all the rules about driving in California or in the United States. I am one of them, have been pulled over for speeding. I violate the law, right? But do you think I am lawlessness if I do that? My circumstances for speeding could be explained for many different reasons. When the cops pull me over, he does not see me as a lawless person. He just tell me, hey, sir, you violated the law. This is the code that you broke. Here's the tickets. Fix it. Either you pay it or you do it in the court, right? They don't even say that I'm lawless at the time. Not until I get the tickets, I get the summons to either pay or go to the court, and I refuse to do that. That's when the court says your lawlessness, you're basically getting a warrant and basically get ready to go to jail because you don't take care of that. So same thing here. John is saying this. When you do sin, don't think about it as like just violating the rules that you can escape by doing certain things. Think about it as a matter of heart. Think about it as a matter of lawlessness. And the same thing, he said that when you do is righteous, don't do it because you feel good about it yourself. Don't do it because, oh, I have sinned 3 times, so let me do good things 4 times so that I'm net positive. Being righteous, you do things righteously because it is a matter of the heart too. You want to do good because you know God is good, and you also want to embrace and internalize it and then express that I also want to live righteously. Okay? So that's why when you read the Bible, when you read the gospel, you see a lot of time Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees. I have no idea why Jesus liked to argue with Pharisees, but I think one of the reasons why is because Pharisees just like to show their righteousness in public. For them, righteousness is all about I am doing according to the book of law. If I am doing tithing 10%, however they want to cut it, I am following God. I deserve to be accepted in heaven. If I fast, I should make my face so burum. You know, it's like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, I'm so tired, so down. I'm fasting, you know, I'm following the book. But God says, what? Your reward's already in heaven, and now you're just burning your rewards. Because of what? It's not, he's doing it not because of the heart he wants to do it. He just do it because, oh, it is actually the time to do it. And how many of us actually live in that kind of, okay, so maybe you say, oh, that's Kodafi, that's already back 2,000 years ago during Jesus' time. But how many of us realize that the same concept or view is still happening right now? How many of you come to church because it's not because your parents tell you to go to church? Or is it because something that you just check off your list? Oh, you know, I am a Christian, so let me go to church because Sunday is church day. And if you missed it, oh, you feel so bad. Oh my gosh, I just sinned to God because I missed church today. Some of us live in that kind of mindset. I'm not saying anybody in this church, but a lot of people that when they say Christians is all about just going to church. If I do Sunday and especially during Christmas and Passover, I'm good to go. I am a Christian. I am set to heaven. Right? But they don't realize that what they're doing is just checking off the list. They don't want to be in the church, maybe. I don't know, maybe they just think about it or something else, like, oh, you know, I just want to go here to perform. I just want to go here to hang out with my friends. So what end up doing is that you go to church and you're not changed as a person. Yes, you're probably practicing your holiness and righteousness at the church during Sunday from 2 to 5 for this church. And then when you go home, you go eat with your friend and your old self is back. Nothing changed about you, right? Because you just have your profile A, profile B, you know, on Sunday, 3 o'clock, profile A. The happy, holy, you know, and then go home with profile B. Profile B is like, you know, the one that's like basic go do something crazy, you know, like the one that's just like, you know, swearing and all that stuff. You don't do your homework, you don't do your chores, you don't listen to your parents, you're just bad-mouthing people, you show jealousy, you're angry all the time. So what it does is that you're not just a changed person. It's the same thing. We could be a Pharisee as well, right? And what it does is this, right? What has been taught by the people of Israel is only the half-truth, right? What it says is basically, people who practice righteousness in public is spiritual righteous. That's what they have been aiming for. And they're just condemning people who does not do righteousness. They feel good by belittling other people, demeaning other people. And by saying, I am righteous because I follow the law, right? So that is actually, if you look at it, this statement is kind of true. People who practice righteousness is spiritually righteous. Correct. But it's only half of the truth. Who teach half the truth at the time? Co-Pendula, I think, right? Half the truth is about something that is just not necessarily complete. And some of us also feel that way. If we feel like if you go to church and fulfill our checklist, we're good to go. We're righteous. But that's only half of the truth. The truth is so... This is something that I learned. And I'm also part of me learning. And I'm so excited about this topic is because it gave me a lot of revelations and freedom. I have a kind of different understanding and different perceptions of this as well. But then by studying this, I found it very interesting and very... empowering, right? Because people who practice righteousness is not necessarily righteous. I'm hearing Pastor, and I lost my train of thoughts. So we're talking about half-truth. All right. So what about the truth? Okay, the truth is this. I want you to get away from this with the complete truth, okay? Why? Because truth is so important. Even one of the famous physicists, Andrei Sakharov. Who knows him? Andrei Sakharov? He is basically the guy who helped Soviet Union build the nuclear bomb. At the time there was a World War II, people are racing to be the most powerful, and Andrei Sakharov is one of the famous nuclear physicist that is helping the Soviet Union build the nuclear bomb. And he built it. He built the first ever that Soviet Union used, or maybe ready themselves. Later in his life, he said this, I thought when I was young, I thought the most powerful weapon is the nuclear bomb. He said that now I realize the most powerful weapon is truth. Truth is so powerful, and as you can see this in many cases in Indonesia. You guys remember the young kids that got involved in the bombing that survived? You know that they have been taught by the radical teaching on everyday basis that the only thing she knows every day in her life is to hate people, to hate non-Muslim people. Her parents twisted the truth, and the lies that was just constantly providing to her become the new truth. And imagine you do something, or that kids do something that she completely believes as the truth. Truth is so powerful, even William Churchill says in the time of war, is that truth is such a powerful thing, is that it has to be guarded by a bodyguard of lies. And I think that's what happened. The Satan and the devil does not want you to know the truth, the real truth. That's the reason why all this teaching comes around. He's teaching us about if you just do things righteously in public, don't worry about your heart, just do it. You'll be righteous. You're good to go. And this is it. So I also partially somehow feel like, you know, I mean, not to the extreme, but I thought that this is true. This statement is true. If you're righteous, you're good to go, especially when you're already righteous in Christianity. But no, it actually goes deeper with that. It actually goes into, is in the matter of hearts. So what's missing? What's missing is actually the righteousness of Christ. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first God and his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added." And sometimes a lot of people, again, this is one of the half-truths again, is that sometimes people use that verse to twist the minds of the people who suffer in their life. They suffer, maybe they're challenged with their financial, with their health, and they say, go seek God first. After you seek God, oh, you'll be healed. Oh, your finance will be good. Oh, everything in your problem will go away. A lot of people commercialize that verse like that, promising you that there will be a material blessing. There's guaranteed material blessing coming from following Christ. It is true, but not 100% true. What it says is that if you follow God and you follow his righteousness, you are blessed in your life. Your spiritual life will be blessed. That is the most important blessing that you can get. Don't worry about of course, you have to worry. But my point is that don't follow God just because you're challenged with your financial benefits, right? The matter of following Christ is a matter of heart. So as you change your heart, as you change pursuing God wholeheartedly, your life inside out is changing, okay? So that's, again, another half-truth. And this is the reason why what is missing, you doing righteous is okay. But what's missing is that in which righteousness? Are you doing it for your own righteousness, or are you doing it for righteousness of God? So I want to close with this, and I invited the musician team. It's very simple, actually. We're all talking about righteousness being the matter of a heart. It's not about how much you do. It's not about how much you have. It's not about how handsome or good-looking you are. It's actually about Jesus and yourself. Does God really change your life, and is he really living in your life? People who practice righteousness is not necessarily spiritually righteous. But people who are spiritually righteous should practice righteousness as they follow the step of the righteous one. So I hope you get the point. And righteousness itself is a gift. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can work on do hard or work hard to earn righteousness. Righteousness is a gift from God. It comes free as long as you proclaim in your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is your Savior. For some of us, you can play. For some of us who accustomed or grown up in the family or in the school or in the environment where your value is depending on how much you work, what is the results of your doing. Today, I hope you take away that your standing, your righteousness in Christ, first of all, it's free. There is no way you can overcome your bad doing by just continue to do good works. Yes, you will be rewarded for the good things you do, but equally you will be punished for the things that you don't do good. Punishment is always there. if you do good, if you do bad, a punishment is coming for you. So this is the problem, right? Because God's in heaven. He said he wants everyone to go to heaven. He wants all of you to go to heaven. But we have been doing it the wrong way. We have been just working, just trying to earn the status to be the heaven citizens. We work so hard just to get the tickets to heaven. By just balancing things out, right? I just do better. But that's not how it's going to work. God himself is so holy, there's even not a spot of sin in him. So how can us, somebody who's, when you're born, the moment you're born, you're already sinful. I myself, a five-year-old, can deceive my own teacher by telling lies. We are sinful in nature. How can we be in the same level of God? Not in the same level. How can we in the same environment with God? If God himself is holy, we are sinful. There's no way what you can do to get you there in the right hand of God. So God thinks about this and he said that the only way I can do this is that by sending my own son. The people who knows how to fix this problem go down to earth and being our teacher, being a role example, and give us that ticket. So the righteousness is free. Your righteousness, your belief in Christ that gets you to heaven is free. But don't stop there. Because God also says that even you know me, but if you don't change your heart, don't change your life. In Luke 13, you read it. He says that, yes, I have been in the same room with you. I have done with you. I have fellowship with you. But when you go to heaven, if you don't change your heart, God will say, I don't even know you. Yes, I know you one time, but I no longer know you. Because what you're doing is your spiritual righteousness. You're just focusing on yourself. You never change your heart. You can never make yourself holy. Only God can make you holy. So for some of you who has been struggling with this, however you grow up, maybe that is the stuff that's blocking you from moving forward. You think that you have been earning your way by just doing the morally good things. Let me tell you, that's not good enough. You need Christ. Because Christ himself is the only way, the only person that basically can cover your sin. He said, like, you cannot come to heaven unless you go through me. And for some of us who already believe, who has been coming to church, who has been studying the word, who has been fellowshipping, who has been going to care group, who has been praying and worshiping together. If the things in your heart has not changed, then let's grow together and start change ourselves. The last thing you want to do is that you have a false hope, saying that I'm already in your church, I already believe in Jesus Christ, but I never changed my life. I am still the same I am from Monday to Saturday. I'm only holy on Sunday 2 to 5. Who knows? God will say to you, when it's about your time, God can say to you, I actually don't even know you. Who are you? Have you been following my heart? Have you been spreading the good news to others? Have you slowly changed your life? This is a serious stuff. Grace is there for you, but it also is free. But it also comes with the cost. It comes with the cost of your heart and your life. I can tell you right now, I thought Christian is one of those easy religion. If you want to call it Christian as a religion, I can tell you, I thought Christian is the easiest religion because we have a God who's so forgiving, he wants to come and forgive your sins. But it's actually, Christian is actually the hardest religion, if you want to call it religion. Because God put it so high up there that nobody can go to heaven by your own doing. Other religion teaches you to go to heaven, that's how you do it. This is how you worship. How many times you worship. This is how you, whatever you sacrifice, you're good to go. But in Christianity, there's no such thing. You do whatever you do, you still don't earn it. Only accepting in Christ. So folks, you're in here, you better know the game you're playing. You better know the religion you're having, or if this is a religion. This is not about religion. This is about our relationship with Christ. That's the reason why through relationship, people change. If you go with your husband and wife, because of your relationship with them, they change. They become a better person. And I hope you also become a better person. The same thing, when you have relationship with Christ, you become better. You become righteous not because of your doing, you become righteous because you have the change of heart first. You're righteous in your heart first before you become righteous in your doing. I myself struggle, and I feel very, like I said, I have my own perception of things, but studying this empowering me that I have to do better every day. I have to know what Christ is like. God has so many facets. He has so many faces that we don't even know. We don't even have a grasp of who God is. We just know that He is a loving God. He is a gracious God. But don't you know that He is also just? That when He comes, there's no more, you know, happy-go-lucky. When He comes, He's going to be a just judge. He's going to judge you based on how much righteousness you have in your life. He's no longer going to be that God that is just so nice and forgiving you every single time as you confess your sin. So, I encourage you, let's go out today. Be a better person inside and out. If you believe in Christ, believe Him and follow Him wholeheartedly. Don't become a lukewarm Christian. Because logically, right, I'm a logic person. If you're lukewarm, there's a chance that I may not go to heaven. There's a chance I may not go to heaven. So if I'm a logical person, either I just enjoy my life, go to the extreme, denying Christ, and for sure go to hell, or I'm just going to go 100% and follow Christ. Don't be that in the middle, because you'll be disappointed. If you're in the middle, you're bound to be disappointed. And I encourage every one of you right now, in whatever stage, either you don't know Christ, you know Him, or you have been doing it, just let's have this empowering mindset. Pursuing God costs you. Pursuing God is going to make you different. Your environment, community will see you weird. In this era, being a Christian, they call you bigots. They call you intolerant sometimes. But is it worth it? Is it worth heaven? Probably. And through your righteousness, do others as if God is doing something to them. Don't repay violence with violence. Don't repay bad words with bad words. Bless others, even if they hurt you. God says, even love your enemies. How can you do that? How can you love your enemies? How can you love somebody who hurt you already? How can you forgive your family member who probably has hurt you? When you grow up, they treat you badly. How can you forgive them? You can only forgive them because God already forgave them. If God Himself already forgave them, how can you, the follower of Christ, does not have that heart to basically forgive that person? I'm going to close with this. Maybe we're going to take some time to pray and to meditate. Think about this. Righteousness is a matter of heart. God is ready to give that to you if you're willing to accept Him to be your Lord, to be your Savior. But once you do that, beyond that, I encourage you, just follow Him wholeheartedly. I have been half-heartedly, setengah-setengah, you know? Because I also pursue my work. I also pursue the joy of my family. I also pursue everything. I understand we have so many things in our life that we pursue. But when we prioritize God first, your heart is just slowly changing and you become a better person. If you follow Christ, you become a better parent. You become a better children. You become a better student. You will take responsibility of the things that was given to you. It's coming from inside out, not from outside in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful truth. We don't want the half truth, Lord. We want your full truth. The salvation that you have worked in our life is such a powerful thing. Your salvation is your gift to us, so that none of us can boast how good we are in earning your salvations. Thank you, Lord, and I hope and I pray that every one of us today receive this word, and slowly that word got rooted strong in our heart and in our mind, so we become a better person as we get out from this place today. Lord, we don't want to be Christians on one day and non-Christians on 6 days. We want to be your strong follower of Christ every day of our life. Because Lord, at the end of the day, when we come in face to you, Lord, we want to hear you say, "Welcome, my faithful servant." Lord, we look forward to commune with you, Lord. Even though the things that we're facing right now are struggling, even though the things that is surrounding us, expecting performance, expecting results, expecting physical appearance, doing just to be better, just to be good. But Lord, we want to do good because first it's a matter of our heart. It's about our heart transformed first, renewing our mind with the Word of God. And Lord, help us to pursue you daily. Lord Jesus, I don't care. It's a matter of like reading the Bible or just reading about books about you, Jesus. Help us to uncover more and more about you, that we can understand how you loved us, Lord. How much you loved us. How much you want to commune with us. And Lord, help us in whatever we think that we do, through our quiet time, through our Bible study, through our reading the Bible, through reading some books, through learning, through meditations, Lord. Help us so that you will unravel your mystery slowly, one at a time, so that we will go fall in love more and more with you every single day, Lord Jesus. And help us, Lord, to become a follower of Christ. Help us to become a righteous man. Help us also to help others to become righteous and to have your righteousness in their life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray that this Word will embed it strong and growing in every one of us. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, everybody who hear and believe in this, say, amen. Happy Sunday, church.